John chapter 1, verse 6. Let's open up our Bibles as we go there, as we continue. Last week we began this new sermon series through the Gospel of John. The purpose of John's Gospel is so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's his purpose. He wants people to see who Jesus is and his identity, and that he is God, that he is the Messiah. That's the purpose of the entire Gospel of John. And it's going to be a great, great journey as we go through this together. And so I'm going to read just the first five verses to you, just so we can have some context before we get into verse 6. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. So here in verse 6, John tells us and continues another angle and aspect of how he will show us who Christ is. He tells us this story by referring to a man named John. Now this is not, he's not talking about himself. Matter of fact, John never mentions himself by name in the entire gospel. Often he'll refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So this John that he's writing about here is about John the Baptist, which he gets into much more detail at the end of this chapter. And so we're going to reserve that for when we get to later in chapter 1. But we see here that John the Baptist was sent from God. Why is this? Well, we're told in the Old Testament that there would be a forerunner. There would be somebody to precede the Messiah that would prepare the way. That he would preach repentance of sins and baptism as a sign of that. And that's exactly what John the Baptist did. And we see in the other three Gospels more of John's story. We also know that John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus. Elizabeth was his mother. Mary was his aunt. So what did John come to do? Why is the Apostle John mentioning him here? He was sent from God. And verse 7 he says, he came as a witness. He came as a witness. That's why John came. That's his purpose. What's a witness? Well, this is actually a legal word used in court. It refers to someone who testifies about what they have seen or what they have heard or what they know. What does John know? John knows that this is the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. Amen? This is who John is. John knows that he's not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. John testifies about Christ, and he points people to Jesus. He witnesses. He testifies. He does this by calling people to repent of their sins and to leave their former lives behind and look to the Lamb of God, which is Jesus. He was preparing the way for the preaching of the gospel and the forgiveness of sins and the grace of God in that way. So he did this. This is the Jesus. This is the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for. This is Jesus. This is what John kept preaching. He's the Messiah. We can stop waiting. He is salvation. He is God in human flesh. And that's the point of the entire Bible, isn't it? From beginning to end, we see the promise of a Messiah to come. And here in the beginning of the New Testament, we see that Messiah has arrived. The Jewish Messiah who has come not just to save the Jews, but all who believe, Gentiles too. Amen? Yes. John is saying, don't miss him. Don't miss him. What does he witness about? John says this in verse 7. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. The light. Now remember, just a couple of verses earlier, he's already mentioned and talked about the light, hasn't he? In verses 4 and 5, he says this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Talking about Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So he's pointing people to Christ. Jesus is the light, and he has light of eternal life that repels darkness and has victory over evil and Satan and sin and the grave. We saw last week also Hebrews chapter 1, which says this. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. In him is light. And what is that? Holiness, righteousness, grace going forth, showing us who God is, showing us his Father, showing us his holy character. John says, that's him. If you want to know who God is, you look to him. It is him who takes away the sin of the world. And he keeps talking about the light, the light, the light. And it makes so much sense, doesn't it? In this dark world, where there's much death and evil and sin and despair. I mean, just listen to your news station this week, and you'll see how dark the world is, right? Actually, don't listen to the news this week. Just shut it off, all right? You'll get all depressed and discouraged. There's much evil in our world. Sin is raging, it seems, uncontrollably. Darkness. People are far away from God. And how does John describe Jesus in this dark world? Light. What does light do in its very nature? It repels darkness. You turn the light on and the darkness goes away, right? That's what Jesus does to this world. He makes demons shudder in fear and cry and scream and beg for mercy. I love those accounts in the Gospels. Jesus is walking around and he's doing healing, and he came to the demon-possessed people, and the demons cry out in terror and agony. Why? Their eyes are being blinded by the glory of Christ and their fear of who he really is and what he can do to them. Light is such a good metaphor, though, to describe Jesus. What does light do? It gives life. I mean, there could not be life as we know it without light. Remember that thing you learned in your biology class, photosynthesis? See, I was paying attention in seventh grade. Photosynthesis happens through light coming in and gives life to the plants and whatever else happens. I think I tuned out after that. Light itself is energy. It's power. I mean, it's really the very core and foundation of the universe and the created order. I mean, light is an amazing thing. It travels at 186,000 miles per second. I mean, that's just unfathomable. There's nothing faster than light. I mean, just to think of the power and the speed of light, it has no equal in that way. Yet Jesus is called what? The light. Light makes things visible. We could not see. There would be nothing. I mean, the fact that you see anything in here today, you see me, is because light is reflecting and bouncing off of me and reaching your eyeballs and computing an image in your brain of how Dan looks like. I mean, everything in this world you see because of light. And again, Jesus is called what? The light. Why? Because without Jesus, you can't see anything. Without Jesus, you cannot see God. Without Jesus, you cannot see truth. Without Jesus, you cannot see God. Oh, light is a perfect metaphor that John uses to describe who Jesus is, because that is exactly what he does. And so, imagine being in a dark room, not being able to see. There's a guy screaming, "Hey, look over here! The light is over here!" Turn this way. Look at this way. You don't have to stumble and keep falling or stubbing your toe, right? Look this way. The light is over here. That's who John the Baptist is. He's pointing to the light. Get out of the darkness and see. But you cannot see without the light. And so why does he bear witness about the light? Why does he testify about the light? That all might believe through him. That all might believe through him. John doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care if you are a Jew or a Gentile. He's preaching to everybody. Right? He's preaching to Roman soldiers. In the beginning of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John the Baptist preached to everybody, even Roman soldiers, and told them to repent for the forgiveness of sins. Gentiles can repent and be saved? Yes. That's what John the Baptist is preaching. That all might believe. All might believe. That's all without distinction. Not all without exception, but really all without distinction. It doesn't matter who you are, yellow, black, or white, Jew or Gentile. You, hey you, the light is shining. Stop stumbling. Look over here. Stop tripping. Stop dying. Stop sinning. Yeah, the light doesn't discriminate if you are a flesh and blood Jew. John the Baptist came to tell everybody where the light is. And isn't that what we're all supposed to do? I mean, John the Baptist isn't the only one that has this message, does he? No, not at all. Matter of fact, when Jesus resurrected and he spent 40 days with his disciples on earth, and then he ascends to heaven, what is one of the last things he tells his disciples to do? Let's look at Acts 1:8. In Acts 1:8, as right before he ascends to heaven, he gives them this promise and commission. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my, what? Witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Yeah, this is not just a task for John the Baptist to go preach the gospel to the ends of the world. But it is for all who are disciples of Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, you are called to be a witness. You are called to point people to the light. People in your neighborhood, people at your school, people in your work who are stumbling over themselves in their rebellion to God, whose lives are torn apart with sin. Yeah, Jesus has called you to testify about Him and who He is. That's loving. That's loving. That's our mission. That's what we ought to do. All disciples are called to do this. And then John clarifies something in verse 8, which I think is interesting. He says, he was not the light, speaking of John the Baptist, but he came to bear witness about the light. Why would John say such a thing? Why would he have to clarify that John the Baptist isn't the light he's talking about? Well, because there was many followers of John the Baptist that even after he died, still believed that he was the Messiah. And we see this in the book of Acts. I think it's Acts 19. Don't turn there now. You can look it up later. That there were still some of John the Baptist's followers that thinking that it was John who was the Messiah. And so John, the Apostle John, is clarifying here, maybe to those who are reading, who are still confused about who John the Baptist was, about who he really is. He says he was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Look at verse 9. Then he goes back to Jesus. The true light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Oh, this, we're going to park here for a while over the next couple of verses here. This is good stuff. The true light, again, referring to the Logos, Jesus, the Word, like he said in 1:1, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. He goes back to Christ. And this is what it says. It gives light to everyone. The lights that are on in this room do not discriminate, do they? The light goes on and it bounces everywhere. Right? It doesn't stop at Dave Perry and say, not Dave Perry. Right? It doesn't stop over here at Rich Bracknell and say, we're going to shine everywhere but Rich. Mm-mm. The light, which gives light to everyone. Why does John say this? Again, he is making distinctions about who can know Messiah. What was the Jewish thinking? Messiah was for who? Them. Right? Messiah is for us. We're the people of God. We're from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. John says no. The true light gives light to everyone coming into the world. Yeah. This light of Christ as He comes into the world, boy, it is seen and is for all people. All kinds of people. It doesn't matter your skin color, your ethnicity. I love how Revelation in chapter 7 says, around the throne were a great multitude which could not be numbered or counted. And they were saying, what? Worthy is the Lamb. And who made up that great multitude? All tribes, all tongues, all nations. Amen? That's right. The true light is not just for Jewish people, John is addressing here. The light comes on and it's for the whole world. It's for the whole world. That's what light does. It shines into darkness without discrimination. And we know that darkness will not win. This is what Jesus said of Himself in John 8:12. He says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. We'll get to chapter 8 probably 3 years from now. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Whoever follows will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What is the condition there? It's what? Whoever follows me. Right? There's only two kinds of people at the end of the age. There are people who worship Christ and people who don't. People who follow Christ, who walk in light, and people who walk in darkness. That's the distinction that's made. Jesus, I'm the light of the world. Yeah. Now, John continues in verse 10. Because that's all good stuff. It's about to get a little confusing. Because look at verse 10. He was in the world. Speaking of Jesus, the light. And the world was made through Him. Yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. Man, how is that possible? Just think about this for a moment. I mean, is there anyone in here that does not know that the lights are on? Everyone sees the light shining. How is this possible that a light can shine but not be used or known or seen by the world? He was in the world. He made the world. Yet the world did not know Him. Something's wrong here, isn't it? Something is really, really wrong. And not just He came to some remote tribe in the middle of nowhere, but He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. his brothers, his sisters, his cousins, the Jewish people. He came to them. They didn't know him. How is that possible? The properties of light itself are what? It can be seen. So what's the disconnect here? How can the light be shining and people not know? It's a good question. And the word that he uses there, the world did not know him. The word know is the word gnosko in the Greek. It has an acknowledgement. And is even used in very intimate ways. The Bible sometimes phrases when a husband and wife have sexual intimacy, they'll say, for example, and Joseph knew not Mary, his wife, until Jesus was born. Right? It uses the same word, knew, this gnosko, to even refer to sexual intimacy between a husband and wife. And so what is John implying here? The world did not gnosko him. They did not know him. They did not have a relationship with him. That's what he's saying. That's what Jesus says, right? At the end of time, many will come before me and say, Lord, Lord, we've cast out demons in your name. We've done this for you, Lord. We've done this for you, Lord. And what does Jesus say? Apart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. There's no relationship there. How could they not see the light? Oh, this is odd. The only way you don't see the light shining in a room is if, one, you're blind. Does that make sense? If you have an inability to see what's true, if you're blind, you can't see light. We're going to go through four different reasons that the Bible says that although the light is shining, people don't know the light. One, we hate the light. Naturally, from birth, we do not grow up loving light. We love darkness. And of course, I'm speaking not of real lights and darkness. I'm speaking of good and evil, righteousness and sin. Jesus says this himself. He says this to Nicodemus in chapter 3, which we'll get to. In John chapter 3, 19, this is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. And what? People loved the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Their words were evil. So here comes the light to bring good news and hope and salvation. And by birth, men and women and children naturally what? Are repulsed by that light. They love their sin. We love our sin. The last thing we want is what God wants. Why? Because it's not what we want. God is holy and righteous. We don't want that. We want us. We want to be pleased. We want what we crave. And so naturally, we don't want the light. Why? Because we hate the light. Because we love something greater than that. So how can Jesus come into the world and people reject him? Because people love themselves more. And this sinful condition produces in men and women and children an inability to believe. Have you ever wondered how you could share the gospel with people and then they walk away saying, okay, not for me. And you're like, I can't make it any simpler to you. Why don't you believe? Why? Because men love darkness rather than light. They don't want the light. I mean, to put it bluntly, what happens to the cockroaches when you turn on the light? Yeah. They run. Why? Because the light exposes them. Yeah. By nature, I mean, this should be in the Bible. I mean, I'm not going to argue with God, but by nature, we are cockroaches. That's what Jesus said. How can the world be made through him? He's in the world, and people not receive him? Yeah. Sin. We're slaves to sin. We love sin. And sin always wins, because that's where our natures always go. That's where our wills are enslaved, to always want sin. I can give you 100 chances in a row and say, Jesus or sin, and without the power of God in your heart, you know what you'll choose every time? Your sin. Because you love it. Jesus said it. You love it. Secondly, not only do we hate the light and love our sin, but secondly, I've already mentioned it, the Bible says that we're spiritually blind. Men and women from birth are not born knowing God. I mean, if you've ever met a person and they say, I've been a Christian all my life, say, no, that's not right. You haven't been a Christian all your life. You may have been going to church all your life. You may have been in a Christian family all your life. But there had to come a moment where you believed, where you became a Christian. You believed in Jesus Christ. There was a moment where you were blind, but like Amazing Grace says, what? I was once was blind, but now I
see.
Yeah. Why don't people see the light? Because they're blind. Let me show you what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. And even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, Paul says, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light. You see that? To keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Yeah. The evil one blinds the minds and hearts of unbelievers to see the light. He works in conjunction with their hatred of light to continually to blind them. Where some, if you are in Jesus and Christ, and you're a Christian, you're like, these things are just so obvious. Why don't more people believe? Here's the answer. The Bible speaks of an inability in us to perceive these things ourselves. We love the light. We hate the light. We love the darkness. And our minds and hearts are blinded from seeing, very specifically, Paul says, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, Paul says, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're going to come back to that verse in just a moment. What's the third reason? So we hate the light. Secondly, we're blind. What's the third one? We're dead. That's what the Bible says. Why don't we see the light? Because we're dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this. And you were dead. He's writing to Christians in this Ephesian church, in the trespasses and sins. Now in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So Paul says there too, not only are you blind, spiritually blind, but you are spiritually dead. dead people don't have any life in them. That's what makes them dead. And so to be spiritually dead is to have no spiritual life in you. To have no desire for God, to have no cravings for God. And of course you can't see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Why? Because you're dead. That's a really important point there. We're blind, we're dead. And we have no spiritual understanding. Number four, we have no spiritual understanding. Romans chapter 3, Paul lays out the charge of what sin does to humanity. And this is what Paul says. It's very blunt. No one, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. Is there any exceptions there? Like there's some that understand and some that don't. No one understands. No one seeks for God. Are there some who seek God and some who don't? No. Very clear. No one. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. Why can't we see the light? Well, no one understands and no one seeks for God. I didn't write that. It's good. God wrote that. And so, again, why don't people see the light of Christ? I mean, it's so obvious. The light is on. Everyone should see it. Well, there's something in the way that stops people from seeing it. What is it? It's their sin. And their sin makes them hate the light, makes them blind, makes them dead, and makes them naturally run away because they don't understand. Because nobody in this world is born looking for Jesus. Nobody in this world is born seeing and wanting to see the light. Nobody. Well, that's bad news. Who then can be saved? Who then can know God? Who can have the light switch turned on in their hearts to see the glory of Christ illuminated in their minds and hearts? Well, look at verse 12. According to John, there are people. Thank you, Jesus. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, see, that's the distinction. You either believe or you don't. So Jesus said in John 3 to Nicodemus, if you believe, you are not condemned. But if you don't believe, you are condemned already. That's where the rubber meets the road. It's believe or not believe. And believe, John uses this word 100 times in his gospel. It's a very important word for him. Who believed in His name. There's good news. John is still testifying and pointing people towards the light. And the good news is this. As John the Baptist is preaching the gospel, there are people who believe. There are people who receive Him. Matter of fact, this is why John is writing this book, isn't he? So that you may believe, what? That Jesus is the Christ. But the question is, how does that happen in light of everything you just said, Dan? If there's no one who understands, if there's no one who seeks after God, if all people hate light and are blind and dead and no one seeks up, who believes? How do they believe? This is good stuff. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He, who's He? God gave the right to become children of God. Who does the work? God. God does the work. Not some preacher. Not the faithful person who witnessed to you. Thank God that they did and shared you Christ. They invited you to church. God used them. But it wasn't them who did it. Who did it? God. He gave the right to become children of God. For who? For those who receive Him and believe on His name. Now here's the interesting thing. This word, right, that He gave the right. Oh, it's a beautiful word. It's a word that also is translated as power. The authority. God gave the power. So how did they become children of God? Because they believed. How did they believe? God gave them the power to believe. It would have to be. Go back to those four things. God made people who hate the light, love the light. God made people who are spiritually blind, see. God made people who are spiritually dead, live. God made people who didn't understand or seek after God, what? Understand and seek after God. And who did it? God! It's always God who does the saving. It's always God who has the power to turn the light switch on in someone's heart. That's why we never give up. We never give up on your dad, your mom, your grandparents, your neighbors, your co-workers, your brothers, your sisters. You never give up on them. You keep praying for the power of God to be manifested in their heart so that they would believe. And you keep sharing Christ. You keep sharing the gospel. Because they have this inability in themselves to not see the truth of Christ. But praise God that Jesus and God gives us the power to become children of God. He gives to us what we lack. Eyes to see. A mind to know and understand. And a heart to believe. And He doesn't accept us as some, second class citizens. He accepts us how? As children of God. Children of God. We become adopted into His family. And we have the right privileges and heir, inheritance, all that belongs to Christ is now ours. And then look at this. Just to make sure that it wasn't clear, He clarifies who are the children of God in verse 13. Who were born. Now that's a very important word in John's Gospel. We're all familiar with John 3, right? Jesus says, you must be what? Born again. That's what He's talking about. You must be born again. Who were born. Now how were they born children of God? That's what He's referring to. Not of blood. Not of blood. What does that mean, Dan? He's talking to the Jews. How do people become children of God? It doesn't mean that they were born Jewish. It doesn't mean that they are physically related to Abraham. Why? Because the light shines on the whole world. Right? How did they become children of God? They were born not of blood. And look at this. Nor of the will of the flesh. Nor of the will of man. It can't be you. Why can't it be you? Why can't it be your will? Why? Because you hate the light. You don't want it. You can't see it. You're dead. You don't understand. John's making a point here. How do you become children of God? Well, you're not born into it physically. Neither are you born into it willingly. Well, how do you become children of God? The last three words. How are we born children of God? But of God. That's how we're born children of God. That's how we're born children of God. And this is what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 mean. For by grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved. Through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This is how people see the light. How do people see the light? Brandon, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. How does God turn the light on in our hearts? For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Remember, Satan had blinded the minds of unbelievers, but God speaks into the darkness and says, "Let there be light." And God spoke into your heart, and He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And you and I, who were hating light, who were blind to the light, who were dead to the light, who didn't understand or sought the light, all of a sudden, something's happened in us. Right? Something's different. Something's changed. And then we hear the preacher say, "Whosoever will may come." And you're saying, "Man, I want to come. I want Jesus. I want to be saved. I want a preacher. I want to believe. Let's do it." Why does that happen? Because God speaks into dark hearts and says, "Let there be light." And there is light. Amen. How are they born children of God? How are we born children of God? Not by blood. Not physically belonging to Abraham. Nor the will of the flesh, because that's contaminated as can be, nor the will of man, but of God. Jesus is the light. He is the light of the world. And John begins his gospel showing us that He is the way to God. He is God. And He is how dead sinners live. This is what John the Baptist came to proclaim. That you can't save yourself. It's only through Jesus Christ that you can live and see and understand. And once Jesus speaks into your heart light, your dark heart is removed. And whosoever will may come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The problem is before God speaks into our heart, nobody wants it. Nobody wants to. But thanks be to God that the light is shining in the whole world. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this glorious truth. Help us to see the goodness of Your grace in our lives. Who has transformed us into a people who were enemies into children of God. Who has changed our heart's affections from hating light to now loving light. From being a child of darkness to now a child of the light. Who has changed us from being spiritually blind to now seeing the glories of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I once was blind, but now I see. Who has raised us from the dead in our trespasses and sins by the voice of His command. Let there be light, so that we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we can't do this without light. And we praise Your holy name that You have sent Your Son to shine in this dark world and in our dark hearts, so that we might be exposed to the core over our sin. So that we repent of that sin and run to Christ. Thank You, God, for now giving us a hatred of our former sin and a love for You. Lord, I pray that in this room, if there are any whose hearts are darkened, who do not believe, that You would speak into the darkness just like You did at creation. Let there be light, and there was light. Help us, Lord, as the Apostle Paul proclaimed in 2 Corinthians 4, that we proclaim Christ and people believe. Not because of us, not because of them, but because of your saving grace. Help us, Lord, and save people in here. In Jesus' name, amen.